Dark of the Moon trailer now on iTunes. Club exclusives. Blesser. Space Case returns. This is GeekExistence.com Family Podcast Network.
Now, all we need is a little energon and a lot of luck.
So welcome to Geek Existence Transformers.
I be your host, Peg Leg Fearful, and with me be...
Ookie Grabbit and Calvatron. I'm going to say I remember when I first got into collecting.
Predacons, terrorize!
Hello and welcome once again to Geek Existence Transformers, episode number 24, recorded April 28th, 2011. I am Weird Wolf, and this is Insane Galvatron.
Hey everybody, what's up?
Yo, I know what else is up, actually what's down is a lot of rain lately.
Yeah, it was up, but now it's down on the ground.
I know a lot of people have been experiencing a lot of flooding. I know we have here in Kentucky, but a lot of people in the South have been inundated with rain lately. I mean, it's raining right now, as a matter of fact.
And it's not just rain. They're also getting a lot of tornadoes. Mm. I think it was somewhere in Alabama. I mean, the place just got trashed by some serious tornadoes that came through. Lots of people dead. Yeah. It's just really horrible.
I think it's Tuscaloosa, where the University of Alabama is. I think it's one of the places got demolished.
Yeah, we've had tornado warnings, and there's been tornadoes here in Kentucky, and they've done some damage, but I'm not sure about the ones last night, but I know we hadn't had any deaths prior to that, but, you know, my condolences go out to those people in the South that are dealing with that.
Most definitely. I heard there was something along the lines of 190-some people that were found dead just in Alabama alone. You know, it's terrible. I mean, you know, with all the science that we have, you would think that, you know, tornado warning would be so much easier now, but it's not. You know, they're just as unpredictable as they ever were. I mean, sure, we've got these fancy radars that tells us where there might be a tornado, but, you know, that doesn't go very far as telling us that there is one, you know.
Well, I think what really does it is the fact, I mean, they got the technology to show there are tornadoes in the area, so if you're in that area, take cover. They can even get a little bit of notice because they can track them as they move across whatever state. But I think the difference is what happened in the South is it happened so late at night that everybody was in bed, so nobody was even awake to hear the warnings, let alone take cover.
Yeah. I know the town that I live in, we're near a Army base, and they have the warning signals that are like all over the area because they also store like chemicals there. And I know that the warning sirens are there are there in place because if there's ever like a chemical leak, like nerve gas or something, you know, they have a way to warn us. Well, it's also doubles as a tornado warning and severe thunderstorm warning.
So you hear the alarm, you don't know if you should take cover or flee. Because if it's nerve gas, you want to get out of the area.
There's obviously somebody that talks over it too, says, you know, this is a severe weather alert or what have you.
Oh, okay. I figured it was just alarms going wee wee wee, and you didn't know what to do.
No, it does sound kind of creepy though, because I mean, the alarm system covers probably, I would guess, a 50 square mile radius. I know there's alarms out where my mom and dad live, and that's at least 30 miles away. You know, so, you know, it can get creepy when you hear that echoing through the hills. You know, my heart goes out to all the people that's suffering from the tornadoes and everything. You know, we're just lucky here. All we've been getting is a lot of high wind and rain and maybe a little bit of hail.
Yeah, I've been inconvenienced. My grass hasn't been mowed in a week and a half. Just because it's been raining almost every day, and on the days it doesn't rain are the days I don't get home before dark. My grass looks like my yard looks like a jungle right now. And back to, you know, to round this back around to Transformers-related stuff, I you know, want to kitbash and I want to paint, and I tried doing some in my house in the back room I have, but you know, the paint fumes just carried too much. You know, I thought, well, it's much bigger than my old apartment. Surely I can get away with painting in the far back corner on the other end of the house. But no, it had nowhere to go, and so I gave that up. So, but I need to go outside to paint, which I can't do when it's all raining. So I'm itching to kitbash, and you know, the weather finally warmed up to where I can, but the rain stopped.
Yeah, it was actually kind of nice during the day today, but you know, I had to take my elderly mother. I had to take her to the doctor's office, and
that's right, you're off on Thursday. See, I had to work. Yeah. I got home, fixed dinner. As soon as I got done eating, I was going to go out and mow the grass, and all of a sudden here comes the rain.
I did some photographing and some graphics work today, so you know, it kind of rounded out my day. I didn't get to play any games like I normally do, but that's all good. You know, hopefully it'll all come out in the end. But that was also why I didn't get to work on the website right now. Many of you may know that we are having some issues with the forums and the website in general right now. We suspect that we have been hacked, and the threads are still there, but the contents of the threads are missing for the last maybe week to 2 weeks. So it's the only things that's really affected are the podcasts and the posts from the last week or two. We're working hard to get those back up, and we've changed all our passwords and everything, so hopefully that'll help fix it. It's kind of unfortunate, you know. I mean, here we are, a young website, young podcast and everything, and we're already being inundated by spammers and hackers. You know, I really wish people would find something better to do with their lives.
Maybe that's a compliment to say that our site and stuff is popular enough people want to hack it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's more along the lines of a e-peen thing, you know. It's like, hey, look what I can do, you know. I know whenever I used to...
look, Ma, no hands.
I used to own, Gen1TF.com, and I had, what was it, maybe 4 attempts over about 7 years that I had the website, where it, there was one time that it actually did get hacked, you know, in a bad way. I went to work, everything was fine. Whenever I came home, somebody had actually hacked into my admin account, had banned a couple users, had posted some rather pornographic pictures all over the forums, had reworded some of the forums so that they said something rather nasty. I mean, it was pretty bad, and they completely disabled the front page. They actually didn't. They left a note for me in the admin panel. It was very vulgar, and told me, you know, learn how to be more secure and stuff like that. And I don't know how it happened. Well, I know how it happened, but I don't understand how they did it. Somehow, what it was somebody had come on the forum, had posted a rather nasty message in the forums. It was not a regular member. He just signed up to the boards, and the very first thing he posted was pretty nasty. I deleted the post and banned the member, but apparently... how he gained access, the way VBulletin explained to me, is that whenever I clicked on the thread to view the thread to see, you know, what he had wrote, and then realized that I needed to moderate it, whenever I clicked on the moderate button, it sent him my username and password.
Really? How in the world do you hack that?
I don't know. There was something that he put in his post that was actually code, and it sent it used my login to log into the admin panel to send him that information. Well, he received the information and waited a few hours. Obviously, waited till I, you know, wasn't on the boards. He knew about the time, I guess, I was at work, and he went to work. He did a number on my website. Took me close to 2 weeks to get it back up and running the way it was before. Fortunately, I'd made a database backup a day or two before. I lost a number of posts with a lot of the users, but I was able to restore most of the forums to their former functionality.
That is not what has happened to Geek Existence, though, right?
No, it's much less intrusive. It's more of an inconvenience. Like I said earlier, it's just posts and some of the podcasts have been deleted from the forums. That's how we actually link them to iTunes and everything. What it is the podcasts themselves are still on our servers. It's just that there's no link to them directly on the website right now. And the forums that we post them in, we actually don't have access to them, but I know how to fix that. It's through the admin panel, and I just haven't had time today, and I didn't have time last night. I will get onto that probably sometime this weekend, so expect to have the forums back to their former functionality very soon. Hopefully by the time this podcast is up, they'll already be up and running. It's good that to get this information out, that way anybody who does use the forums will know what happened and why the forums were acting kind of funny. Put an announcement on the forums, so just generally let people know that we know something is wrong. I don't know if I can restore all the posts that were missing. Granted, you know, like I said, we're a young website. There's not a whole lot of posts right now. So, you know, it may not be such a big deal, but we will definitely get the podcast links back to working so people can listen to the last couple, three podcasts that are missing. But I believe that'll be enough about our website issues and everything, so let's move on to the rest of the podcast.
Time now for our
editorial note. The eBay item of the week we discussed this week has been taken down due to the broken street date, as we mentioned during the recording of this podcast. This item is no longer available to view as of the time of this editing.
All right, this week our eBay item of the week is Transformers 3 Dark of the Moon Sentinel Prime Mint in Sealed Box. This is, you know, obviously we know the street date for Dark of the Moon Toys isn't until next month.
It's middle of next month.
So we're looking at maybe 2-3 weeks away, and somehow somebody got a hold of a Leader Sentinel Prime early. I don't know if the store broke street date. I don't know if he says in the description how he got it.
I was reading on TFW 2005 earlier this afternoon. There was this auction is located in Chicago, and there was another member that was in Chicago that lives in Chicago, had went to a local Target, and they have broken street date and put Dark of the Moon toys on the shelves. And matter of fact, the toy that he bought was this Sentinel Prime. It's not this exact one in the eBay auction here, but he bought a Sentinel Prime. And I'd say that store is going to incur some wrath from Hasbro, or at least corporate, for breaking street date. I mean, there's a reason for that. But somebody who has obtained one of these toys is taking advantage of it and looking for someone who is really desperate to get a toy a few weeks earlier than everyone else. I don't really see the appeal of that.
Would buy the toys on eBay. Usually they're stolen test shots or whatever.
Test shots are different because they're not a final version of the toy, and you get to see the toy before it's finished in a way. This here is a typical street release figure that we're going to see, everybody's going to see on the shelf. It will not be, you know, hard to find. It will not be available for another 2-3 weeks.
Well, I didn't mean, I think I used poor choice of wording. I didn't mean test shot. Some people get a hold of like early toys that are, I guess, stolen from the factories. They're actual release samples. For, you know, they're just early because they got hold of them. They buy on eBay for huge markups. But again, you're talking that usually happens months before the release. You know, because they're getting it direct from China. It's, you know, they haven't even left the factories yet as far as to be shipped to the, you know, distribution centers of the retailers. So I know that's quite common. You know, quite a few people will do that, and they'll do it so they can get early reviews. They can do videos, picture reviews, what have you, of the toys, and get them up there so they get lots of views and things before, long before it's on shelves. You know, but again, that's, you know, months in advance, you know, head start getting them directly from China. This is, as we said, like 3 weeks. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I know people might pay $100 or more for an early leader to get it several months early. But 3 weeks, I don't know if that's really enough, and especially by the time you figure you got to wait till the auction ends, where to buy it now, and it's got to be shipped to you. You know, you're going to have maybe 2 weeks by the time you get it in hand and could do a review or take pictures. I don't know that it's worth paying double for the toy just to have it 2 weeks early.
Well,
two months, maybe 3 months, but 2 weeks.
You may get it in a couple days if this guy ships really quickly. He says you have $18 expedited shipping. But still, I really don't see the point, because in 3 weeks, you'll be able to buy this toy for the suggested retail price. What is it, $44?
Yeah,
45. Around $45. You know, why pay more than double for something just to get it 3 weeks early? I think that's financially stupid. You must have more money than brains if you want to do this.
Right. Again, I've seen people do it to get it early. It's worth the extra money to get it early when it's a significant amount of time early. Don't want to insult the people who do that to get something months ahead of time. But yeah, this is it's just a couple weeks. That's not, in my view, I can't see that being justifiable of that price tag. But this guy apparently thinks it is. He thinks that because he's got this thing early, that somebody's going to buy it for this price. So even though this was our eBay item of the week, it could just as well have been our, you know, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yeah.
Because honestly, is he going to get that kind of money out of this just 2 weeks before release?
I don't know. His stipulations, though, are he will not ship outside the USA, so our international bidders are pretty much cut off from this. It's, like I said, even the box is not, it doesn't look like it's in that great of shape either. I mean, it doesn't look case fresh. I mean, it doesn't look banged up, but it doesn't look case fresh either.
Which is kind of weird, because it most likely is case fresh if it was, you know, just put on the shelves.
Well, he claims in the auction description, he says he busted his ass for this. In other words, he basically snuck in the back room probably and swiped it out of a case. I don't know. I don't know what he did to,
or maybe there was,
bust his ass for this.
Maybe there were other people that were there and trying to get it too. You know, it's like a little brawl in the toy aisle. I mean, it's happened. I don't know about necessarily Transformers, but, you know, you take your hot toy of the holiday season. I saw many people fighting over Furbies and Tickle Me Elmos back in the day.
Yeah. But the seller is Diablian, I guess. The auction number is, or the item number is 280-667-179-945. Buy it now price is $100. Shipping is $18 expedited shipping. Auction will end in a day and 22 hours. So April 30th is when this auction will end. I say good luck, buddy. You know, I mean, but like you said, there's probably somebody out there that will buy this. I
would be surprised. If it were months out, yeah, but with 2 weeks, I don't see it happening.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, you really got to have more money than brains to do this. I mean, yeah, it even says in the auction description, this is a mint and sealed box item and will not be available in stores for another 3 weeks. Wait. Just wait and save yourself more than half of what this, more than double what this auction is going for. This is the perfect example of what a scalper is. So somebody just taking advantage of a situation
to try to make money.
And it's kind of silly. That's our eBay item of the week this week.
As well as our Whiskey Tango Foxtrot of the week.
Yeah, I may even throw the Whiskey Tango Foxtrot bumper on there. But, yeah, go check it out if you want to see what Sentinel Prime looks like in the box. But I wouldn't advise buying it because it'll be on the shelf at any Walmart, Kmart, Target, Meijer, Costco, or whatever. It'll be on the shelf here in about 3 weeks. Just save yourself some money.
Now it's time for Out My Wallet!
All right, Greg, tell us what you got this past week and let us be interesting for the listeners.
Okay.
Make it sexy. Can you make it sexy? Make it sound
no,
sexy.
When I try to talk sexy, it usually kills the mood. I'm one of those people that I'm better off. If I want to be sexy, the best thing I can do is shut my mouth.
Well, say it in baby talk. And say, ouch, my wallet.
I don't think that's sexy at all. Because, you know, if you think that's sexy, then you have issues.
I was trying to change the mood, you know.
Oh, okay.
Instead of saying it sexy, say it in baby talk.
How about I just say what I got in normal talk? How about that?
Okay, tell us what
I mean, we are grown men talking about toys. If you can't really get more baby than that. Or less sexy.
I don't know. There's some girls that do find it kind of sexy, you know.
Yeah.
I am married, you know. It's not like I'm a 40-year-old virgin, you know.
Right, so. But does she love you for your toys? Or does she just love you despite your toys?
She loves my toys. She actually is going to BotCon with me, and she actually got angry that I went to BotCon without her last year and the year before that.
And the year before that? And the year before
yeah.
that?
Well, no. She's been to a couple BotCons before.
Oh.
She likes it. Her favorite character is RC. I don't know why.
Because she's pink and a girl.
Yeah. I was being facetious. But.
Yeah, but anyway.
Go on.
I do not have an RC, nor do I have a wife. Had one, got rid of her, couldn't be happier.
But
no,
you do have a daughter.
Yes, I do have a daughter. But my daughter does not like Transformers and does not want to go to BotCon and does not get mad because I go without her. So, what I got that made my wallet go ouch was I got somebody had ordered a case from BBTS of the, I think it's Wave 8 of the Generations, which had one each of Cup and Scourge, two each of Warpath, Wheeljack, and Thundercracker. He kind of waited for this case to buy the whole case rather than trying to track them down earlier, which had to be really hard to not buy Scourge and Cup until then. You know, everybody else was getting them. But anyway, he needed somebody to buy the duplicate Warpath, Wheeljack, and Thundercracker. And I wanted those figures, and so I held off on the Wheeljack and Thundercracker because I wanted Warpath, and here was a good opportunity to obtain him easily. So I took him up on the deal, and those came this week. And Thundercracker, pretty much what you'd expect. He's a blue Starscream.
But he's awesome.
Yes, he's awesome, but he's a blue Starscream. There's not really a whole lot to talk about there. It's just if you want your Seekers and you like them all, which I do, I love them all. If they only give me four of the six, I get upset. I want them all. And so Thundercracker kind of completes that, even though I already had the Henke one.
Polka Jets?
Got to catch them all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Or Polka Seekers? Seeker Mons.
Pokecons.
I have
officially coined a new phrase. Pokecons.
Got to catch them all. I like that. Pokecons. Okay. Wheeljack, he's the remold of Trax, which I know you talked about him quite a bit when you got him, so I don't really know there's a whole lot else to say. He is awesome, and he looks enough different from Trax that it doesn't feel like I have two of the same toy. There's enough remolding on that thing. Like you, though, I think his vehicle mode's a little plain. I know you ordered the Repro Label set specifically designed for Wheeljack.
I have that in my ouch my wallet.
Oh, well, you mentioned ordering it a couple weeks ago. This is when you get it. But I'm going to order some Repro Labels as well, but I'm not going to get that set. I'm going to probably go with the G1 set just so I can take the sponsor stickers off of it without having to cut everything up. Just to see how that turns out. You know, we could probably get together and take photos of the two, like comparison shots.
Side by side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that way people can decide which Repro Label set do you want for your Wheeljack. And then Warpath is awesome. I'm not real crazy about the fact he's like an age tank with four different sets of treads because, you know, he's supposed to be a regular tank with just two sets of treads, but it kind of makes a little more sense when you transform him, you know, because it doesn't really, I mean, the way you just look at tank tracks and you can't really split them in half. you know, it wouldn't work. Stuff would just go flailing everywhere and make a big mess. So I can kind of live with it. He looks awesome enough in robot mode that I can deal with it. I love the elite speak on the side where they got the numbers and letters. It looks like it's saying Kapow.
And Zowie.
I mean, he's an awesome figure. More complicated than he looks as far as his transformation goes. There's lots of things that flip and spin and panels that move that, you know, wouldn't really need to. I mean, they could have pulled off a very similar robot mode that just as articulated from that exact same tank mode with a much simpler transformation. But I like it when they do things they don't have to do just for the sake of doing them, because it makes it a more impressive toy. You know, you feel like you got your money's worth because it's satisfying because you're doing more stuff. Warpath is awesome. He was...
Now, before you move on to one of your next items and everything,
mm-hmm.
We both got a item that is identical. So let's save that for later on when we talk about it in the news.
Okay.
So you know that we'll talk about that when we get to the news. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I will...
Editor note
that. I will pass over that. I had it on my list here. People looking at the podcast notes, we'll see it on there, but we won't talk about it yet. And probably the biggest thing I have this week, and it's kind of a good and bad situation. I have a masterpiece Rodimus Prime. Managed to actually get him this week. Reason why I say it's a bad thing is I have not taken him out of the box yet. I've opened the box and slid out the tray and looked at him, but I have not actually removed the figure from the box because I'm scared to. I've heard so many reports of, you know, Rodimuses with major problems, and you know, people just be transforming and pieces will just fall off, but they'll fall off in a way that they're broken, you know, not just pop off, pop back on. I'm kind of scared because I don't want to, you know, have $200 in a toy and then open it and it be broken. So rather than taking that chance, I'm just leaving him in the box for now.
He's too pink.
It's more of a magenta. It's anime accurate. I don't mind it. It's just, I'm scared to transform him. I don't want him to be broken.
With you whenever you picked him up, and I don't know. I was really disappointed by him. You know, I mean, he does look cool, but at the same time, he's not what I expected. You know, the other masterpieces tended to have more, save the first MP01 Prime. They tended to have more of a realistic feel to them. And granted, Rodimus Prime is based on the cartoon model, but he looks too much like... It's almost like it's an animated version, an animated masterpiece.
Well, I mean, I can kind of see that, though, for... You know, granted, for season one and two characters, yeah, I like the realistic alt modes. That's what attracts me to the Transformers is, you know, hey, it just looks like a toy car, you know, but then, boom, it turns into a robot. You know, I don't like them when the alt mode looks fake, so when you look at it, you go, oh, that's a Transformer. You know, because it's all about the toys being disguised. So I love Season 1, 2 stuff. But when it comes to Season 3 robots, they don't have realistic alt modes. There's no way you're going to mistake those for anything other than a Transformer, because there's not any kind of toy that looks that way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for masterpieces of Season 1 and 2 guys, yeah, make them look real in vehicle mode. But with Season 3 and later, you just as well go ahead and make them look like the cartoon model, because there's no real-life something for them to emulate. You know, it's not like Megatron.
What, you haven't seen a Hot Rod Winnebago?
No. I mean, it's not like Megatron. There's a real gun he can emulate. You know, Starscream, there's a real F-15 he can emulate. Optimus Prime, there are real cab overs he can emulate. There is no real Space Winnebago.
I would like to have one.
Well, there was one in Spaceballs, but it looked a lot like an Earth Winnebago.
A Mog flew it.
Yes, half man, half dog. And his name was Barf. His name was Barf, but not in here. This is a Mercedes.
Tangent.
Gotta love Spaceballs. But yes. Anyway, like I said, I can't really comment much more on him since I didn't open him, other than, you know, just know that I'm scared too, because I'm afraid he might break, and I don't want to waste $200 on a broken toy. So
I still say he's pink.
He's still in the box. He's magenta. All right, and the other thing I picked up same time I got Masterpiece Rodimus, a little less exciting, and these I just haven't opened because they're a little time-consuming to assemble, and I just haven't had time. I got the Kabaya Wave 2. This has the Ultra Magnus. This is Ultra Magnus, Prowl. You guys haven't opened them, I'm having a hard time remembering who the third figure was. Jetfire. And these are the Prowl.
Classics.
And, yes, Prowl and Jetfire are based on the classics. But the Ultra Magnus is based upon the G1 Titanium that was out. but they reworked it a little bit so the proportions are a little better. Of course, you know, you can't really get too excited because it's Kabaya Candy Kits, and you know, they tend to be parts formers even though they don't need to be. Like the G1 Prime I have, you know, he's got one, you know, two parts that are part. His forearms on both sides have to be popped off during transformation and popped back on in a different spot. But the way that he parts forms, they could have very easily just had one more joint in there at the elbow. Even if they'd given up his elbow articulation, to, you know, to have the point, have the part attach a different way so that it can transform, I wouldn't have minded. But it's like a transformer as simple as G1 Prime, they made it a parts form. I don't know why Kabaya does that, but otherwise the figures are awesome. They look good in both modes for what they are. And, I, you know, they're not that expensive. I think it's like $5 a piece at most online stores.
I have the Victory Saber one. I got that one from you, I believe.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was just Star Saber. I don't think Victory Leo is part of it. Yeah. But, I mean, I enjoy them for what they are. I mean, the Classics Prime, the Star Saber, and the G1 Prime, they're nice. I like them. They're fun to put together. And they're just something neat to tinker with. You know, and like I said, they're relatively inexpensive. You can get three of them for just barely more than you pay for a deluxe figure on the shelf. So they're a good bargain for the fun you have out of them. You just got to understand they're not really so much Transformer toys. It's just a chance to build a Transformer, you know, from scratch. Just a little small miniature version. So I really wanted these guys. Look forward to them. I picked them up. I can't wait to open them and put them together. Love the Kabaya kits. I'm really looking forward to Wave 3. It's the three figures in Wave 3 are classic Starscream, which all kinds of repaint potential there. But then they have Super Genra, who, you know, turns from the truck into, which we know as Power Master Prime. And then they have the God Bomber armor, which was, I think, Apex armor in the U.S. When it got its release with the reissue. So that's, you have just the armor. The Apex armor is one release. Super Genra is another release. And then Starscream. And from what I heard, Captured Prey just got those in stock. And he's holding me one of each. In fact, I've already paid for them. I just got to go pick them up next time I'm there.
So, tell me. You picked up one more figure. And I've had this figure for quite some time.
Yeah.
What do you think of Hailstorm?
Hailstorm, he's okay. I don't really care for the looks of his robot mode. He's the big gorilla arms. He's kind of squat. But it was one of those deals where, you know, I'm sure everybody listening to this podcast is having the same problem. You go to the stores and you're finding hardly any Reveal the Shield, if any. I don't think they've ever turned up at Walmart. I think, you know, Target and Kmart have been the only places people can find them. Wave
I got
one.
Mine at a Kohl's. Hastings.
Oh, Hastings. I know Kohl's had Wave 1, but I never seen anything past Wave 1 there. But anyway, Real Shield is pretty much a drought. When it does turn up, it sells quickly because they don't get very much of it. So, you know, but everywhere you go, you're still seeing tons of Hunt for the Decepticon stuff because they just ordered too much, the retailers did back at Christmas, and it just didn't sell. And he was the only figure that I did not have a version of the mold already, but yet was, you know, I wasn't really that interested in him, but at the same time, I just wanted to buy a new toy on the shelf. I mean, yeah, I just, you know, racked off several $100 worth, mostly because Rodimus was $200, of toys. I spent $250 on this other stuff.
You wanted to get something from a brick and mortar store.
I wanted to buy something off the peg, because all this stuff had come in the mail, and I wanted to buy something on the pegs and something new, and this was the only figure that, like I said, I didn't already have a version of or was completely disinterested in. You know, like I didn't get Jetblade because I have no desire for that movie Conehead mold. And, you know, he kind of has a classics aesthetic, realistic alt mode. And so I thought, what the heck, I'll pick up Hailstorm. Of that mold, there's two versions. I like that color better. And I had, you know, I have to admit, the transformation was neat. The way his body kind of xylophones in from his head, stuff squashes down. That was kind of unique. Just nothing really to get excited about. I have no attachment to the character. He doesn't really look like any other character I have an attachment to. And unlike Terra Dive and Tomahawk, who were also, you know, had no character connections, those toys just looked a lot cooler to me in both modes. And for some reason, I liked them better. Hailstorm, it was like, again, it was pretty much I wanted to buy something off the peg, and there we go. He was there.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate Hailstorm?
Okay, with 10 being this figure is awesome, it couldn't rock anymore, and 1 being I want my money back, I would say he's about a 4.5, maybe a 5. Just kind of meh. I don't dislike him enough to take him back, but at the same time, I'm not excited about him either.
I kind of rate him around there too. I mean, he's cool. I don't regret buying him, but at the same time, if I had never bought him, I don't think I would have been upset losing any about sleep. It. Yeah, but he was a new release whenever I first found him, and he was actually kind of hard to find at first. And I found him at a Hastings. I paid, I think, like $12 for him.
Living at Yeti Walmart.
You know, so it's maybe a dollar or two more than what I would normally pay for a deluxe. But the time that I bought him was another drought time, like what we're seeing right now. Mm-hmm. And whenever I saw him, I'm like, you know, I haven't bought a Transformer off the peg in quite some time. I'm going to buy this. So I bought it.
Kind of for the same reason I bought it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't regret it. I like him. I just don't fiddle with him that much because
one thing that is fun to do with him is where he's got those pressure launchers. Yeah. Is just kind of put your thumbs on the back and push and launch all eight at once. It is. Yeah, and they'll actually fly across the room pretty good with that pressure. So it's kind of neat watching eight missiles fly across the room all at once, but then yeah, you got to go dig them out from under desks and dressers or wherever else they go.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah, I don't like having to hunt the missiles. Well,
I have
them.
A cat, so that would be a bad thing for me, because he would chase them down before I could get to them.
And then bat them around, and then who knows where they'd go.
Yeah. I might be plucking one out of his anus or something before.
Oh, it's not like
done.
A dog with dental floss. Come on.
But let's move on to what I got. I'm pretty excited about some of this stuff. You know, a couple weeks ago, I said I'm not going to spend any more. I need to start saving for BotCon, make sure I have enough and everything. But, you know, there's just so much stuff that comes available, and I really can't pass on it. You know, I mean,
stuff
if it's a
that
great
if you
deal,
pass on, you're not going to get it later, especially all this new Reveal the Shield stuff. When you see it up online, you got to order it. It's gone.
Yeah, or else I would not have it. Now, On the flip side, some of this stuff I haven't actually bought this week. I've actually paid for it over the course of the last several weeks. Just some of them I actually received this week. A couple of them I did buy this week. The very first one was something that I had agreed to buy way back in, what was it, October? Maybe November, when we had the meetup in Louisville. Orson with Captured Prey. We had a Kentucky meetup. We met at a comic book shop, had a swap meet there, and then he took everybody that was at the swap meet that wanted to. We all went over to where he warehouses Captured Prey. Yeah, and we was able to buy directly off of his shelves, per se. Even though he doesn't have a brick and mortar store, but he does have shelves in there where he has his items stocked, and it's kind of cool. He had a G1 Minasaur, the Stunticons, 100% complete, and they're pretty darn minty. I mean, the stickers could be better, but they're pretty darn mint. Yeah. No. I mean, they're not so bad that I want Repro labels either. I mean, they're pretty good shape.
Oh, wow.
And it's 100% complete. Comes with the guns that go on the back of the cars. Even has their little bitty pistols. And, and I gave, what was it, $70 for him.
That's a great deal.
And who could pass up on that deal?
Yeah,
but see,
exactly.
Back in October, I had agreed to buy him. And I didn't have the money at the time. But he said, you know, it's cool. Pay me back here in the next couple of weeks. I'll hold on to it for you.
Yeah, he even removed it from his website so nobody else could come along and purchase it.
And,
everybody just forgot about it.
Yeah, life, I forgot about it. You know, I mean, I have a busy job.
So did he? He never relisted it on the website?
Yeah. He totally forgot it. And we were there the other day. We went up to visit him, we went by, he and I went by the storage area again. And you said something. Wait a minute! Didn't you put something aside for Weird Wolf? And
well, I said,
like,
Well, actually, I think I mentioned it to you. I was like, "Hey, isn't he holding a Minasaur for you?"
Yeah. And then he was like, I don't know why you forgot. You know, I mean, what made you remember? I had even, here we were standing there again, and I still did not remember. But I am so glad you did, because he is so awesome. I've been wanting to pick the Stunticons up again, especially given this year's BotCon set. You know, and even whenever we were talking about the BotCon Stunticons, this was actually in the back of my mind a couple times. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. But, you know, by the time we end the podcast, and usually by the time we end the podcast, I need to go to bed because I have to work tomorrow. And then I get up, go to work, you know, I forget about it, you know. So, yeah, I'm glad you really, really glad you mentioned it, because I'm so happy to pick him up again. And, you know, I was happy to shell that money out. I really needed to save some money, but again, deal I could not pass up. Also, some things that I picked up here recently that I've paid for the last few weeks, and I received them this week. The Reveal the Shield Legends, Prime, Megatron, Goldbug, and, well, Gold Bumblebee technically, but he's Goldbug to me, and Starscream. I got those, I believe it was Monday. So this is Thursday. I believe it was Monday I got them. And they are all kinds of awesome.
Yeah, they're great. It's like the world's smallest Transformers that Takara released, but classics versions. You know, where world's smallest are pretty much, you know, the G1 toys really small. These are legend size, slightly bigger, but they're updated. You know, transformations and everything. They're not just, you know, like I said, downscaled G1s. And I'm, you know, loving that Prime. I think Prime is awesome.
Prime is awesome. But, you know, I think my favorite out of the bunch has to be Megatron. He's got a really ingenious transformation. Yeah, he doesn't have the scope as his arm cannon. He actually has the barrel of the gun as his arm cannon. But it works. I think it's really cool. I wish it wasn't the stupid orange. The safety orange that they paint the end of the barrel, like there's going to be a gun that's that small, that's real.
I mean, but I have a Derringer, it's pretty tiny, but even it's bigger than that Megatron.
Yeah. I really like it. Second, I would have to say Starscream, because that transformation is ingenious. I'm sitting here fiddling around with him right now, and he's got a really complex transformation for a legend.
The only thing I wish they could have done different, and I don't know if they could on that scale, would have been to have it so that the cockpit on his chest were the actual plane cockpit, but they kind of cheated.
Yeah, it's got a faux cockpit on it, but it's really cool though. Goldbug, I like him. He's an obvious homage to Goldbug because he's got the same color scheme and everything. The only thing is that gold plastic?
It possibly, but I would hope it's a better formula than what we had back.
Yeah,
in the
I don't
early
see
90s.
Well, there are swirls in mine.
Yeah, some, I mean, I've noticed swirls. A lot of other colors of the new plastic that have the swirls on. Even my Wind Charger I'm looking at here, his plastic was kind of swirly.
And he's got the like the gold metal flake paint scheme or color scheme in it. But
you know,
I hope he doesn't suffer from it. But
I have heard Hasbro say they fixed the GPS. You know, but at the same time, the 2007 movie preview Starscream suffers from GPS, and that toy came out after Hasbro said they fixed GPS. So I'm not entirely convinced it's actually been fixed. I just think that, you know, they say that so as to ease our fears about buying the new toys. But yeah, there are new toys, and that Goldbug is one of them. I would not be surprised to see crumble in 20 years.
Yeah, well, or even less, because that first movie preview is not 20 years old, and
oh, that's true.
I've heard of people's preview Starscream's crumbling.
I hope the Charger doesn't, because he's got an awful lot of swirly red plastic.
I agree with you though. Prime is pretty awesome. I don't like the fact that he has a fake chest, or I mean a fake grill, but at the same time it works with his transformation. I wish he had knees.
It's no different than the Classics Prime. He has anymore. All the Primes have. Well, I mean, even the Masterpiece Prime has a fake grill on his stomach.
Yeah, but I mean, it works. But I think the number one thing I don't like is the fact he has no knees, and you can't bend his feet down, because in truck mode it kind of looks stupid.
Oh, kind of poking up in the back.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still not a bad toy. I really like it. Well,
it's a legend. It's poor kids Transformers.
Well, you know, that's if this was a deluxe size figure, I'd have to say it sucks. But
it would be a lot. It'd be too much like the Robot Masters version.
Yeah,
it's actually better than that.
If I mean, I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt because it is a Legends figure, and because it is a Legends figure, even with these, I don't want to call them flaws, but that's the only thing I can really think of right now. But it is a really nice figure for its size, and he's all kinds of awesome.
Well, I think maybe he's a little higher on my list simply because two reasons. I love Tractor Trailer Transformers. Yeah. He's a truck. But something else that bumped him way up on the cool scale is I saw somebody posted some pictures of that Legends Prime in truck mode next to a G1 Minasaur or G1 Motormaster. And the cabs are the same size. So he's perfectly in scale. He just doesn't have a trailer. And to me, that was all kinds of awesome because I loved Motormaster because he was like the evil nemesis of Optimus Prime, you know, the cartoon. You know, they should have been similar in size, not such, you know, vastly different. And so this Legends Prime gives you a chance to put them in scale.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the Legends Megatron, and he's got total articulation in his legs, but that's mainly because of
the transformation.
Yeah. But he's got total articulation in his legs. He has no elbows. But that's fine. The only thing that he really lacks that would be really awesome is a swiveling head.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've noticed on toys this small that there's always the trade-off. I can't recall any Legends off the top of my head that have both knee and elbow joints. It seems like they either have one or the other.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, though, I mean, he's all kinds of awesome. He's my favorite of the ones that I've picked up here. I mean, just I'm sitting here playing with him in robot mode, and I've got him in all kinds of classic Megatron poses. I mean, and he poses well. He looks nice. I'm even considering taking a picture of him in my light box and deleting the background and kind of putting some kind of background behind him and making him an avatar. Because he's just that awesome.
Well, I have heard, now I don't know this for a fact because I don't have a Masterpiece Starscream open. I sold my Masterpiece Starscream, all I have is a Skywarp, and he's still in the box. But I've been told that Megatron can be hailed, you know, by the Masterpiece Seekers.
Well, the butt of his pistol grip is so big, though, I don't see how it could.
Apparently there's some way that something pegs in somewhere on his hand. There's like a slot or something. I don't know how it happens. I've not seen any pictures, but I know Hasbro said that it could happen, and I've heard other people say that they've done it. I just don't recall seeing any pictures.
I do have a Skywarp that is loose, so I may try that sometime this weekend if I can think of it. But enough about the Legends. I picked up some more stuff. I'm going to move along. Also on the Goldbug tangent, while we were at Captured Prey, I talked to Orson, and I had been seeing them on the store, and I really thought they were awesome. But I wanted to see one in person, and whenever I saw it in person, I'm like, that color scheme is just so cool, I have to have one. Even though I already have two of the same mold, I've actually owned three, because I had the first version of it. It's the Classics Bumblebee mold. I have the
United Bumblebee.
Well, it's the Classics Bumblebee mold, though. And I have the Reveal the Shield Bumblebee as my Bumblebee, and I have the Classics Cliff Jumper, obviously, as my Cliff Jumper. And I picked up United Bumblebee simply because he has this bling-bling, shiny paint scheme that is pure gold. And I do mean that in the most literal sense. He is gold, so he will be my gold bug.
I'm really tempted to get one of those, and I may pick one up at BotCon just for the very same reason. I'd like to have a he would make a good gold bug for my collection.
Well, and I'm like you, you know, a lot of the United figures wouldn't really fit in with the classics because of their all the United figures have or most of the United figures have a shiny paint scheme, and it kind of clashes with the other classics that do not have that same paint scheme. Or a similar paint scheme, and but Goldbug I think will work because he is Goldbug. He's supposed to be gold, and
Bumblebee upgraded with a new paint scheme. Yes. Only thing he needs is a blue head.
Yeah, that he's got a golden head. I haven't even opened mine yet. I mean, I'm not really in a hurry to because, like I said, I already own two versions of this mold. But in typical Japanese fashion, the cards on Japanese Transformers are very easy to open, and you can reseal them very easily. But that's not the reason I haven't opened it. I'm just not in a hurry. Maybe on another rainy day. I mean, it's rainy today, but another rainy day.
When you're not busy.
When I'm not busy, I'll open him up, and he will take his place as Goldbug on my shelf. He is really, really nice. I like that color. I mean, it's a pretty gold, too. It's not too bright and not too dingy. It's just the right shade of gold. Now, the only thing I don't like about it is the fact that he is molded in yellow like the other Bumblebees. But
gold paint.
Yeah, the gold paint is over top the yellow. And they're in robot form, the underside of, like, the car hood or the car hatch that forms his backpack is very yellow, and it's very visible in robot mode. I mean, it won't be as visible once I transform it correctly because it's clearly mistransformed in the package, because the backpack does go down a little bit farther. I can see, just looking inside the package right now, that the trailer hitch for the jet ski is not flipped up, so his backpack can go down a little bit more. Maybe it'll help with his looks. And you can also see on his arm panels, the underside or the backside of the doors are painted yellow. And it kind of sticks out, but it really doesn't detract a whole lot from the figure. It's not enough that, like, oh my gosh, I really don't like that.
Now, I do have a question about him while you're looking at him there in the package. Another problem with a lot of the United figures is the shiny paint. You know, even if it didn't clash so much with the rest of your Classics collection, they tend to not even be consistent on the whole toy. Like, I've heard people talk about Scourge looks like he has parts from two different toys because there's so many parts that are the shiny blue paint and some that are just plain blue plastic. And Cup was kind of the same way. He has sections, but it's usually around the truck bed where it's just the, you know, teal-colored plastic and then shiny paint everywhere else. And I've seen it on a couple of other figures as well. Now, some do it really well. I know Trax looks good. Jazz looks good. But, you know, some look bad. Like I said Cup and Scourge. How does Bumblebee look as far as, well, his car mode? Does it look like all the visible car pieces are gold painted, or are there any parts that aren't painted?
It looks like all the visible car pieces are gold painted. Like I said, he's packaged in robot mode. It's hard to tell. I mean, he's partially obscured by the car mode picture on the front of the package. So I can't really tell if all the pieces, but from what I can see, it does look like he would be completely gold in car mode.
Well, that's good.
So, I don't see any bad paint apps on him. So, he's got a really smooth, crisp, paint application. At first, I thought I was, excuse me, I saw a fingerprint on his chest, but no, that's just on the bubble. But he's
on the
really
bubble.
Awesome. Yeah, he's really awesome. I also got some more things. I'm going to continue on here. I mentioned a few weeks back that I picked up some Repro labels for my Classics Wheeljack. You alluded to them earlier. And I finally got them after about a month. I was actually worried because normally whenever I've ordered from Repro Labels many times. And normally whenever I order from Repro Labels, it only takes maybe a week, week and a half, and I have them in hand. Well, this order, I got the shipping notification back on April 4th, and I didn't actually receive them until, I think, Tuesday of this week. So it's been almost a month. You know, I mean, it lacked a week being about a month. And I was really worried, so I sent in an email to Repro Labels, and I got an email back. Let me see if I can pull it up here real quick. I got an email back from April at Fun Pub. That's later on. I know it's right here.
Somewhere in there, there's an email from Repro Labels.
Let's see here. Yes, there it is. Yeah, I sent her an email. Sent Repro Labels an email, basically saying, you know, I'm really worried about this order. I got the notification back on the 4th that it had shipped, and I still had not received it yet. I understand that Repro Labels is located in Canada, and, you know, it can take a little bit of time. I figured maybe 2.5 weeks at tops, but, you know, here it was going on 3.5 weeks, almost 4 weeks, and I'm like, you know, I'm worried. So I figured I'd shoot them an email, and she did reply. She said, this is April at Repro Labels. Let's see here. She says, I'm truly sorry this is taking so long. We tried a new service for faster shipping, but it's not working as fast as me sending it to regular mail. Our customers are of much importance to us. I'll get it out here in a moment. And we will no longer be using this company. We have contacted the company, and they have advised us that the orders will be there this week. If not, we will be resending them as well as all others. Please let me know if you receive this order, and if you have not by Friday, let me know. And I did receive them actually the day that I received this email, so I shot her an email back and said all is good. So yeah, they tried a new shipping company, and it actually took longer than it was before, whenever they're just using regular mail. So they axed them. Yeah, they axed them, and you should be getting your stuff the way you used to. But moving on to Wheeljack. I didn't like some of these stickers that the Repro Label set had for him. Like, they totally wanted you to replace all the green and red striping. I was perfectly happy with that on my Wheeljack. I thought he looked pretty cool and clean. I just wanted some sponsor stickers and some numbers, maybe an extra faction symbol, so I used all of those. And there was a couple stickers that were on the very front of the hood or bonnet, depending on where you're at, that had some sponsor labels, but they were also the edge of some of the red and green striping. And I just used a pair of scissors and trimmed them down a little bit and used just the sponsor stickers. And I put some pictures up on the forums, and well, they're probably not there now due to the issue that we had. But he looks so much better with these stickers, and I'm so happy I got them. Repro Labels did a great job, as usual. And I don't regret them. I mean, they're a bit expensive for an add-on set. I think they were like $9, maybe $12.
I think a lot of that has to do with the fact of those stripe replacement stickers are quite large.
Yes, they are quite large. I mean, I'm not complaining that they're too expensive, I mean, or else I wouldn't have bought them. But they are a little bit more expensive than I expected. But he's so cool with that on. I got a couple more things.
Like you said, you mentioned the cost. That's part of the reason why I will just get the regular Wheeljack labels, because all I want are the numbers and sponsor stickers.
Yeah, I think the regular labels are only $7, I think.
I was thinking they were less than, I was thinking they were like 5 or 6, but I'll have to go check it out. But
yeah, check it out.
Either way, it's cheaper, and that was my thought, was I don't want the stripe stickers, so why pay for them?
Yeah. I also picked up, we've got a really long ouch my wallet this week, but I also picked up Generations Warpath as well, like you did. I really like this figure. I feel a lot of the same feelings that you mentioned earlier, so I'm not going to repeat them. He just captures Warpath the way he should, and he is everything that I hoped that a Warpath would be. And yeah, he's awesome. Pick him up if you get a chance to. His transformation is really fun too. And last but not least, that I'll mention in my Ouch My Wallet segment, I purchased a Ghost Starscream, the Million Magazine Publishing Company exclusive. And it actually came, I got the one with the magazine book with it. And I flipped through it. It's kind of cool, even though I can't hardly read anything in it. But it's still pretty cool. It's got a lot of the catalog scans from the 80s, even from Europe and, I believe, South America. And Starscream, he is very photogenic. That clear, translucent plastic is just beautiful. I can't wait to set up my white background so I can have him almost glow with the light. And he is just beautiful. I can't overstate. I mean, I have this mold like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is like the 7th time I have seventh iteration of this mold. 8th.
You have Acid Storm, right?
I don't have Skywarp.
Oh, okay.
Anymore. Yeah, this is like the 7th time I have this mold, and I don't tire of buying it. Matter of fact, if I find a Skywarp for an affordable price at BotCon, I'm buying it just so I can have the Seekers. Well, I also need Ramjet as well.
You've also pre-ordered another version of that mold.
Yes.
Which is another news story coming up.
But, I mean, this mold, I mean, it's just... the only complaint I have about this mold is that the lasers themselves are fine. I just wish the launchers were a little bit smaller because they obscure too much of the wings in robot mode. But aside from that, I just love that mold. I can't buy enough of it. And the translucent plastic version is just the best version of it, in my opinion.
It does look cool. I bought that toy back when it first came out, which I paid more than you. I got it with... Because when they first put up the listings on BBTS, you had the Starscream by himself or the Starscream with the magazine. And the with magazine was more expensive. So I bought the regular, which has long since sold out. So all BBTS had left in stock was the Starscream with magazine. And it was at, I think, $119 versus $89. So you had to pay like an extra $30 for the magazine. So, of course, that's why nobody bought it, because most people just wanted the toy. Well, the thing is, nobody bought it for so long, they eventually put it on clearance, which is when you bought it for $71.99 with a magazine. It's like, you know, that was... And I'm surprised that... I mean, they've been at that price for a while.
Which is a deal, and that's why I bought it now. Well, and
yeah, because at $90, he sold out, you know, for just the figure alone. And yet, they, you know, I would have thought if they're going to mark that down, they had no trouble selling them at $90. You know, it's $119 with the magazine. Well, we got all these with the magazine to get rid of. Mark it down to $90, you know, from a business perspective. It's like they sold out at $90. Let's just mark it down to $90 so some people are getting a free magazine at the old price. But they went all the way down to $72, which I'm sure you're not complaining because that saves you a couple bucks.
Yeah, and I picked one up since I love the translucent Starscream. I wanted a Ghost Starscream. So, you know, I mean, for that price, I knew he wasn't going to last too much longer. You know, I was going to try to maybe hold out for BotCon and see if I could pick one up there. But, you know, I didn't want to take the risk. Well, he'll sell out before BotCon, and then I get to BotCon, and there won't be one there. So, plus, I'm already formulating my plans for what I want to purchase at BotCon. If I can't find a Grand or a Fortress Maximus or a Victory Saber, I am going to try my best to finish up Headmasters and Target Masters, maybe even Power Masters if at all possible. Yeah, I didn't want to take that risk. Plus, this price was just so awesome. I couldn't pass it up. I did pick up one more thing, but it was kind of cheap. And it was for a Kitbash, in a way, purpose. I picked up a War for Cybertron Cliff Jumper so I could swap the head with Generations Red Alert.
Which I know is kind of a weird thing to say, because a lot of people, you know, are getting that head to put on the Classics Cliff Jumper just so he'll have a different head than Bumblebee. But I discovered somebody on might have been Vinksta, with Renderform, had offered a kit where you get the head, the rocket launcher, and all for Red Alert, you know, so to have a red head instead of a black head, and it was designed to look more like the Generation 1 head, and like what you saw in the cartoon, and it looked really good. But somebody took a picture of it, and they didn't have proper lighting, and so there was a flash, and, you know, it was a straight-on angle, so in that shot, it looked a lot like War for Cybertron Cliffjumper's head, minus the paint apps, because some of the other, you know, differing details couldn't really be made out in the picture. Hmm. And that's when it occurred to me, that was the problem with using that head on Cliffjumper, besides the shade of red not really matching, it's just the wrong shape, it's too tall and slender, you know. Cliffjumper had a different head than Bumblebee, but it was of a similar shape as far as the height and width. And that head is just too tall and skinny to really pass as Cliffjumper, in my opinion. But it works really well for Red Alert. So I think I was the one that mentioned that idea to you, and I just popped it off my Cliffjumper and popped it on my Alert, and a Red Alert, and I was looking at it, and I was like, you know, that actually works better as Red Alert's head than
it does. It looks really good. I mean, the color is slightly off, but it's like I said, it works.
And well, he's not as much red. It's not like he's Cliffjumper where it's the whole bot is red and then there's a slightly different color. He's only got red accents all over him, so it doesn't stick out as bad.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Now I have a War for Cybertron Cliffjumper standing on my shelf with a Red Alert head.
I did the same thing.
It looks kind of goofy, but yeah. I mean, it's the same size head. It's still transform and it works, but It looks goofy because you know that's not the head that's supposed to be on the
toy. And it doesn't work because that head has got a lot more hard angles, and that body is so round.
Rounded,
and smooth.
Yeah. Yeah, it just looks really funny. Maybe I should take that as a picture and use it as a Whiskey Tangle Foxtrot some week. But let's move on to our news segment and wrap up our Ouch My Wallet. We had a quite large Ouch My Wallet. I guess it'll kind of balance out since we don't have a Transformers Prime episode to review this week yet. Last week's episode did air, but neither Insane Galvatron nor I have cable or satellite, so we have to wait for the downloading codes to go up, and they have not as of yet.
Well, I asked about that, and the person doing the encode said that when he was going to record it, they played a repeat of an episode from a couple. I think they played the Convoy episode again. It didn't even air. It's going to air this week.
Oh, so they just
for some reason the hub, even though they're supposed to be on a weekly schedule again with the releases, they went back and played a rerun.
That's odd. But we're still waiting, so there won't be a Transformers Prime review this week. So no spoilers on that aspect.
Reporting directly from HiyaCon. This is the Cybertron News Network.
Well, in Cybertron News, first thing we're going to talk about was going to be in the Ouch My Wallet segment, since both Insane Galvatron and I both picked one up. Actually, it's something we paid for. Well, not directly, but we paid for it about a month or so ago. If you may recall, back whenever the earthquake happened in Japan, Fans Project put up a pre-order an order form for
it's a sidearm repaint.
A sidearm repaint, yeah, for Japan earthquake relief. The deal was is that you would send the Red Cross $15 donation, and then take like a screenshot of your receipt and send that in an email to an address that was provided by Fans Project. And there was 1,500 of the figure they call Blesser made. And the first 1,500 to send in a copy of the receipt would receive a Blesser.
So really we didn't buy the Blessers. We made a $15 donation to the Red Cross. And Fans Projects really, I mean, I don't know of any. I don't even know if Hasbro doing anything like this. I mean, yeah, they did give us free toys last year with the Double Your Action sweepstakes, but that wasn't like for charity. I mean, they were still getting some of our money through purchasing figures. We were just basically getting a 50% discount, you know, which they were probably still making a little money or at the very least breaking even. But with Blesser, I mean, Fans Project saw none of this money, so they produced these figures, painted, assembled, packaged, and mailed 1,500 of these guys out. And they got not a dime for it, which I thought was that's way up there on the awesome bro scale.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a class act that they would do that.
Yeah, and since these were extremely limited run, 1,500 sold out probably what in the first day, I would say.
Yeah, I think it took a little over 24 hours. The announcement went up one morning. And I think the word got out that pretty much anybody who submitted on the first day was going to get one. And I think it was sometime the next morning when they ran out.
Yeah. Now, early people that sent in their receipt, a picture of the receipt, actually received confirmations from Fans Project that they had been received and that they were guaranteed a Blesser. Now, I never received any confirmation, any acknowledgement whatsoever of the email that I sent them.
I received an email, and it wasn't a confirmation that I was getting a Blesser. And it was weird because I gave after you did, and I got this email, so maybe your spam filter's caught it or something. I don't know. But the email I got just basically said that they've received my information and thanked me for donating, and that was it. They did not confirm nor guarantee I was getting a Blesser. They just acknowledged receipt of my email. I basically just got an acknowledgement of the receipt of my email. That was it.
Yeah, I never even got that. But, you know, I mean, I was of the mindset, and as well as everyone that did this should be, that, you know, even if I didn't get a Blesser, you know, the $15 was to a good cause. So, you know, I wouldn't have cried and moaned if I wasn't able to get a Blesser. But, you know, no worries though. I did get one in the mail. I wasn't even expecting it. Like I said, I didn't get any confirmation or any notification that they even received my email. But I was at work the other day, and my wife texted me and said that there is a package for me in the mailbox from Hong Kong. This perplexed me, and I'm like, well, I don't recall ordering anything from Hong Kong. And I had her take a picture of it and text message it to me. And I saw the image of a little golden envelope with a little sticker on it. And I remember seeing an image on TFW about somebody, I believe it was Fans Project, had taken a picture of what one looked like before they mailed it. And
that's that whole basket of them.
Yeah, sure enough, that's exactly what it was. And I'm like, ooh, it's Blesser. And, yeah, and I happen to be in a Chinese restaurant delivering whenever I receive this email. So.
Well, what was funny on my end on the story on this was I saw the news story first thing. I think because you start earlier than I do at your job, so you didn't even know about it because it hadn't been posted yet when you went to work. But I go in much later, and I check the boards before I leave the house and saw this news story. And I tried to go ahead to the Red Cross's website and donate before work. Now, granted, you know, I had to leave at a certain time to be at work, and I don't usually allot myself a lot of extra time. I get up in time to get ready and go to work. I thought, well, I'll just make a quick donation, shoot off the quick email, and then scurry off to work. And I'm in here good and early, no chance of missing out on this. But the Red Cross's website, I'm assuming because they were getting hammered with this promotion, I could not get my donation to go through. I kept getting to the page where I needed to submit my information, you know, and I would click the button and nothing would happen. I don't remember exactly what the error was. It was some kind of weird error that didn't even make sense. And you know, by the time I, you know, could have tried to figure out another way to donate, which there were other ways. I'm thinking I went through PayPal or something. You know, I think PayPal had something set up where you can donate through PayPal and, you know, select it to be for that. And that was acceptable as well because Fans Projects had multiple websites you could go through for the donation. And I tried to go the most direct one and had problems, and I had to leave for work before I could investigate the other options. So I didn't actually give, and because I start later than you, I also usually work later than you. So I got home probably a couple hours or three after you had made your donation before I got home. And at this point, you know, so many people have already given. There's so many posts people talking about they made their donation. I actually kind of thought, well, you know, it's late enough, and as fast as these things are going through, because it was several hours after they mentioned hitting the halfway mark. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, surely, you know, I've missed out on a blesser. But much like you, I had the attitude of, well, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and give anyway. You know, that way if I do get one, awesome, I get a blesser. If I don't, I'm not going to sweat it because it was to a good cause. And, I mean, let's face it, $15. I mean, I bought Hailstorm just because I wanted to buy a toy off the pegs, and that was $12. If I can afford to do that, I can afford to get $15 for this cause.
Yes.
And so I did that. I was hoping to get one, but at the same time, I wasn't going to be upset if I didn't. And, you know, lo and behold, the same day that you received your blesser, of course, you had someone at home to text you a picture. I didn't. You know, you mentioned you had a blesser, and, you know, we were on the phone, and then I didn't find out till I got home, opened my mailbox, and sure enough, there was a little golden envelope. We got them on the same day.
Sweet. And I think it's a really nice touch, too, on the bio card. They said the human partner of blesser, and they have a little sticker there with your name on it. So this blesser is customized for, or each blesser is customized for the person who donated. And I think that it's just a touch of class.
That Fans, is pretty awesome.
Fans Project is so awesome. You know, I really wish Hasbro would take a note of some of their practices. And you know, I don't care how big you are as a company, you know, you could do stuff like Hasbro could do stuff like this.
Oh yeah, I mean that those Double Your Action giveaway, they could have, instead of just giving them to people who bought more of their product, they could have, you know, made it a charity thing. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they give money to charity. I can't really speak because I don't know what Hasbro does, what they don't. But I mean, if they do, it's more of a not in the limelight. They would just donate money, or maybe they donate toys for the Toys for Tots. I mean, I don't know what they do. I mean, those are things they could be doing that we're just not aware of. But you know, I mean, this was a cool way to get fan involvement because it not only was, because they could have just taken what it cost to produce these and just given it to the same, you know, relief fund. But at the same time, they were selling sidearm for $10 a piece and making money. Because basically, they're not going to lose money. So if they can get people to give $15 donations, that's going to generate a lot more money for the relief fund than what they spent on these things. And so they kind of, it's like, okay, well, instead of taking this money and giving it to the relief fund, we're going to produce this toy to encourage other people to give the relief fund. And that way, the relief fund is going to get more money than they would have otherwise. And Hasbro could do stuff like that as well. You know, they could be like, okay, here's these toys that only retail for $12. You know, maybe on Hasbro's end, you know, what their cost on these figures might be, you know, $3, $4, $5. I don't know what they end up paying. You know, they could take those toys and say, instead of just donating that money to a charity, they could get people involved. You know, donate $10 to this charity, get this toy, much like they did. And it would make their money go a lot further in the donation side of things.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really awesome thing that they did, and you know, $15. I mean, you could have donated $150 if you so choose, and you could afford to, and you know you would have paid $150 for a blesser, in a way.
And actually, I think some people were doing it with multiple emails, where you could, if you wanted to do $150. I don't know of anybody personally that did this. Nobody's admitted to it. And I don't know if Fans Project would have come through with this many blessers to one person. Maybe they would have each person limited to one. I don't know. You know, but since they put the names on there, they'd been able to keep track of the names. They could have caught multiple names. But some people have said that they made, like, say, $150 donation in $15 increments. So they made 10 $15 donations and submitted 10 emails to try to get 10 blessers. Now, I haven't heard anything verified if that actually worked, if anybody actually got 10 blessers. But honestly, I think, yeah, it's great that they're $150 going to the charity, but I think if you do it as 10 different donations as opposed to one donation just to try to get extra blessers, you're being kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Because you're taking them away from other people that might try to get one, you know, and it's for charity. You know, you're just like, okay, it's cool that we're getting a toy, but don't try to abuse it.
Yeah. Well, that's enough about Blesser. I mean, it's like we stated how cool it is and everything, and it's a great cause. And I'd say they're probably still taking donations, although Blesser is long since sold out. But, you know, Japan still needs our help, I'm sure. So if you still want to donate to Japan's earthquake relief, I would encourage you to do so if you haven't already. You know, even if there is no reward of getting a blesser, I thought it was an awesome idea, and I was happy to do it even if I hadn't ever received a blesser. So do that if you so choose and if you can. On to other news, the other top news item we have as of today, the Dark of the Moon trailer, the official trailer, is now available in the Apple Movie Trailers. I know in the notes I've said iTunes, but that's out of habit, I guess. But the Dark of the Moon trailer is now out, and we have both had a chance to watch it, and I was actually blown away. A lot of it was footage that we saw in the teaser, but they went a little bit further than that.
It was a lot of the same footage, but it was longer scenes. It was a lot of the same scenes, but you got to see more of it. That, you know, the cuts were a little longer, so you got to see a little more. As well as, I wouldn't really say so much there was a lot of plot reveals, but, you know, we've all seen the first teaser where they show 1969, they land on the moon, they find the Ark and the robots inside, which we've now learned one is Sentinel Prime. And, you know, in this trailer, we actually see the Ark crash, and then you kind of see the people on the moon discovering it. And, you know, spoiler alert here, kind of minor, is, you know, you wonder, okay, well, in the other two movies, this all happened in 1969, and in the other two movies, they kind of make, well, the first movie, they make no reference to Transformers being there before that, other than Megatron frozen in the ice that they found. And then in Revenge of the Fallen, we find out that Transformers were there many, many years past. You know, they built the pyramids. You know, but there's, I mean, as far as modern history, you know, pretty much, okay, Megatron was frozen, put in the dam in the 30s, and then nothing else Transformers until these guys show up. Well, but then all of a sudden you have 1969, robots on the moon, and they find them. And they have a nice scene where, you know, Optimus Prime finds out that the humans had found these robots and not told them. And they're all about, you know, hey, he was actually, you know, kind of ticked off that they had kept this secret.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah, it was very bad decision, he said, or something along those lines. I think it's also, there was a scene that was really cool later on, but it seemed so derivative to me. Have you ever seen, you know, that scene in the trailer where it looks like a large Cybertronian snake is like coiling around a building, and it's like ripping it in half as it's coiling? Mm-hmm. As it's constricting. That reminded me so much of a movie called Dragon Wars. I know you've seen it because that was the first Blu-ray movie that I bought whenever I bought a Blu-ray. We watched it at your house.
It's been a while. I don't remember all the details, but we did watch that movie, yes.
And it just seemed so reminiscent of that movie. I don't know why. But whenever I saw that, I'm like, it's like a robot Dragon Wars or something. But we got to see more of like Laserbeak, you know, it was a lot of quick flashes from scenes. You really couldn't.
You got to see a lot more of the invasion as far as all the ships flying over the city and shooting things and robots dropping down, running around, shooting people.
But as far as plot points, you really didn't get a whole lot from that.
Pretty much the only plot point was the one I dropped earlier where Prime finds out that they found robots a lot earlier and didn't say anything and was kind of mad. That was it.
But there it is. It's available on the Apple Movie Trailers. I'm sure it'll be on YouTube very shortly, and you'll probably be able to see it in the theaters probably within the next week or two. So check it out. I'm really hyped for this movie. I can't wait. It looks like it's going to be a lot better than Revenge of the Fallen, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, I was just as excited about the Revenge of the Fallen trailers because, again, just cutting all the action scenes and put them in a trailer, it looked good. It was the incoherent plot that ruined that movie. But, you know, there was no writer strike, so maybe this one will be better. I hope so.
Also, as of yesterday, the Transformers Collectors Club exclusives for this year, animated Transtech Cheetor and G2 Ramjet, went up for pre-order. They will be shipping probably, I would assume, didn't they say sometime like, was it before or after BotCon?
I think they said they're going to ship after BotCon. I'm thinking like last year with the Punch, Counter Punch, and Cyclonus. I'm thinking that they have all this stuff manufactured around the same time, like all the BotCon toys and the club toys, like while the factories are running their stuff, they just do all of it. So it all arrives at FunPub at the same time, which is why last year it all came in at the same time. They tried to ship out the club exclusives, you know, as they were packing for BotCon. And so I think that's going to be the case here. But last year they were shipping it out. A lot of people were leaving to go to BotCon, so they weren't going to be home when the packages arrived. And there was a little bit of a stink raised, and so they stopped shipping until after BotCon. And so this year they just went ahead and said, we're going to ship these after BotCon. So I'm assuming they're going to have the toys at the same time as they get the BotCon toys, but they're going to wait till they come back from BotCon to start shipping them out.
Which is awesome. Yesterday I was at work and I got a email. Well, no, I take that back. I was checking Facebook while I was waiting on a customer, and I noticed that the club had posted that Ramjet and Cheetor were available for pre-order now. And I'm like, ooh. So as soon as I finished up with that customer, I went out to my my truck and got on my phone, and I pre-ordered one. And I got Ramjet because I really want him more than Cheetor. Cheetor looks awesome. If I can still pick one up here in the next week or two, I probably will try. But Ramjet, I just had to have because, I mean, he's Ramjet. He's in psychedelic colors.
You can never have too many Seekers. No. He can be a generic clone if you don't like Ramjet.
Yeah. So I went ahead and pre-ordered one. Then I called you and to see if you had heard about it, and you hadn't either. And I think it was
a short phone call too, because you told me about it. I'm like, ooh, really? Yeah. And then, you know, I kind of got the impression you wanted to keep talking for a few minutes. I'm like, hey, well, hang up and and order those real quick. So I did the same thing for my phone. I ordered them. I went and ordered both, though. I ordered two Ramjets and a Cheetor. And, you know, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, late last night, I guess it was probably around 7-ish, I had read that Ramjet was over half sold out. I think is around 75% sold out of pre-orders already. And, you know, I thought, hey, this is a good opportunity. You know, it's only going to go up in value. You know, maybe I can use them as good trade fodder. So I went ahead and got a second Ramjet pre-ordered. So I will have two whenever they come out. And Ramjet was $58 and Cheetor was $52. These are club prices. Now, they're more if you're not a club member.
I was a little surprised by that, because usually there's always a difference in the prices. It's usually one of them in the 50s, because I think last year Punch Counter Punch was like 59, 58, something like that. And Cyclonus was only like 45. And I was always kind of under the impression it had to do with the tooling. Cyclonus had no new tooling. He was just straight repaint, so he was 45. Whereas Punch Counterpunch had the new head. There was new tooling, therefore higher cost for manufacturing, so he was 59. So I was really expecting for there to be a price difference. First off, I expected it to be more than just like $6, and even then, I expected it to be Cheetor who would be higher because he had the new head. Because Ramjet's just pretty much a straight repaint. So to see that Ramjet had the higher price than Cheetor, and that the prices weren't as much different as they were last year, that was kind of a surprise to me.
Yeah, it's kind of a surprise, but at the same time, if you really think about it, it's a good financial move, because which one do you think would sell better? I mean, my guess was Ramjet, and judging from the sales, I was correct. People wanted G2 Ramjet more than they did Transtech Cheetor.
And, you know, I was actually surprised by that. I mean, I wanted Ramjet more than Cheetor, but just based on the aftermarket value of last year's BotCon set, with it being G2 themed, and, you know, the popularity of this year's set with the way the pre-orders sold out, you know, I would have thought the animated was hotter than G2 right now. And so even though I wanted Ramjet more, I expected Cheetor to be more popular.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm kind of surprised by it, but at the same time, you know, I kind of figured Ramjet would sell more. He is now, as of this morning, we have found out that he is sold out, so you cannot get another Ramjet unless you work out a trade with somebody. But
less than 24 hours, he sold out. That's the fastest sellout of anything the club's ever put up that I know of.
Well, no, didn't Punch Counter Punch sell out quicker?
I thought so. I was thinking he sold out in a matter of hours. But somebody dug back to the old thread from last year, you know, when Punch Counterpunch sales went up, and then when the actual first post was made that it was sold out, it was actually like 2 days.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, because I think like the reason why some, like you missed out, for example, because I think, you know, some people weren't thinking, okay, I hope it doesn't sell out before I get home, which is kind of what happened with Ramjet. It's like you need to get him before you get home or he's not going
to
be
there. I needed to wait for payday is what my
problem. Yeah, a lot of people were waiting for payday. The pre-order went up in the middle of the week, and a lot of people needed to wait till Friday to order. And, you know, he did last a couple of days, but he sold out before payday. So a lot of people who were waiting until Friday, he didn't make it till Friday. And so I think in our memory, it seemed like it sold out faster than it did because everybody was waiting for, you know, payday, and it didn't make it because he didn't even stay up a week to get to payday.
But Ramjet, yeah, he sold out as of right now. As far as I know, Cheetor is still available, although I did read somewhere that he is about 60% sold out. That was as of this morning. I would estimate, judging on those sales, he's probably closer to 75 or 80 now.
I was getting ready to say, I thought they posted on their Facebook that he was 75% like a couple hours ago.
Okay. So, yeah, he's going, but he's going a lot slower than Ramjet did. Yeah, these guys are going to be really highly sought after. You know, my thinking was by getting a second Ramjet, I was thinking maybe, you know, turning around, you know, holding on to it for a year or two, let it go up in value as of, you know, Punch Counterpunch. How much is that one going for right now? Probably $200 or $300.
I've heard like 200 and up.
Yeah.
I got an extra. I actually managed to order two when they went up. You know, actually I ordered three because I wanted two for my collection. One to display as an Autobot, one to display as a Decepticon. But then I did the same thing. I picked up a third one just for a financial investment. And I got to in a position where I kind of needed some money for some other stuff I wanted to buy, and I was kind of, you know, low in the wallet. And, you know, so I let one go. I think I sold him, because he cost me 60. I think I sold him for like 110. You know, and now I'm looking at what he's worth now, 4 year later, and I'm like, wow, I should have, you know, found another way to get those figures and held on to him, because now he's worth, you know, over 200.
You know, I mean, if I can hold on to that one long enough, if he goes up in that price range, you know, I may not pick up a Victory Saber this year at BotCon and just simply see if I can trade one of those for a Star Saber or something, you know. And, you know, I mean, you never know. I mean, you can pick up some great stuff, you know, just use them as trade bait. But that's the whole reason I did that. I'm not going to try to scalp it or anything. It's like, as soon as I get it, you know, put it up on the forum, say, here's a G2 Ramjet, $150 now. You know, no. I want to get something for it. I'm a collector, you know, and I thought it was a good financial move to, you know, I just kind of guessed which one I thought would sell out quicker, and I guessed right. And so the demand for Ramjet was there, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people that did not get one that really wants one. So there are going to be ones out there. I know you got an extra and I got an extra to sell or trade. So there are going to be extra ones out there, but you're just not going to be able to get them at the club price. And, you know, that's the deal with club exclusives. I mean, they're made to be traded, I guess. They come in great packaging. You can take them out, transform them, and put them back in. Don't have to worry about tearing any tape or anything like that. You know, they're pretty cool. We got a couple more things to talk about here. Well, actually, one more. We'll cover it real quick since we're running long. Space Case returns as a repaint of Hunt for Decepticons Terradive. Space Case, wasn't he a G2 Cyberjet?
Yes, and he was white with on his back. He had like a blue cross pattern,
grid pattern,
like a grid pattern with a little bit of red splotched on it. Whereas this one looks to be all blue in jet mode. He just has some red and white in his robot mode in parts, you know, like legs and arms. So he's got very similar colors in robot mode. Jet mode's a little bit of a, you know, step away. But I can see why, because the G2 stuff, while it makes good convention and toys, it's, you know, retail shelves, that Hasbro doesn't want to go there because the color's a little too funky.
Yeah.
So they kind of tamed his paint scheme down. But I think he looks nice. It, you know, shows us what the new head was revealed for. You know, as I mentioned, Terror Dive earlier, not being an homage to any particular character, he's now getting a repaint as an actual older character. You know, I'm not that familiar with the heads on these guys. I don't know, is the remolded head, does it fit the Cyberjets? I don't know.
I guess. I was thinking the Cyberjets had more squarish heads, like much like the... Well, it's, I want to say squarish head, but it's more of a rounded square head. If I'm remembering correctly. I mean, I could probably pull one up on tfu.info right now, but I'm being lazy. I don't think it has that aesthetic anymore with this repaint.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it'll still pass. I mean, if anything, you know, I'm sure Vangsta or somebody will make a head that's more accurate.
In this head, I think it works. I mean, it's not that big of a deal to where it's, you know, a complete miss on the head sculpt. I think it's going to be good enough. I mean, it's a Cyberjet. You know, I mean, I know he did the one for Skyfall, but that was just because the head was so distinctly Silverbolt. Again, this guy's head isn't distinctly any other character, so I think it'd work.
Yeah.
I think the big news with this release, though, is that he's going to be a Target exclusive. And in the same... toys he's going to be packed in the case there. I guess there's a case of eight, and there's two to a case, and I think he's being released with a Bumblebee who has Cybertronian tattoos, an RC with Cybertronian tattoos, and she's more pink, so she's more G1 colors, and a Jazz with Cybertronian tattoos, who is a black redeco. And when this news story first came out, I was hoping the Jazz, my first thought was to reveal the Shield Jazz, and I'm thinking black with Cybertronian tattoos. I'm like, oh, it's the U.S. version of Stepper. You know, it's going to be reveal the Shield Jazz in black, and the Cybertronian tattoos are going to be like gold and orange or gold and red. And he's going to look like Stepper. And even if you don't like the tattoos, you move them with a little paint thinner. I'm sure Ripper Labels will make some stickers. But then pictures come up not an hour or two later.
It was movie one
it's
Jazz.
It's movie one Jazz. And that toy blows chunks.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to this space case because I like this repaint, and it is a pretty cool mold, especially with his trident. But he's two to a case with three other, you know, not
that's
all that popular toys.
That's
going to
be a Shellformer case right there. I can get
yeah, everything that. But space case. So what's going to happen is the space cases are going to go quick. Jazz, RC, and Bumblebee are going to be warming the peg, so they're not going to restock very often. So this is one of those things where as soon as sightings start being reported, I'm hitting the two targets close by if I have to make a special trip, because I don't think he's going to be hanging around all that long.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the last bit of news that we have here is Dark of the Moon Deluxe Prime. We saw pictures of this from the New York Toy Fair way back when.
Movie Prime and Deluxe Scale looks really good for his size.
Yeah, he doesn't look terrible, but I'm not overly impressed. I think the Battle Blades Prime is a lot better. But
well, yeah, that's why I said for his size. I mean, Battle Blades is a Voyager. Of course, it's going to be more detailed, more articulated, and it's going to be better. But I think for the scale, they pulled off the movie look very well.
Yeah. I mean, it still looks pretty good. And it's going to be a Walmart exclusive. I don't know who he's going to be packed with.
Nobody. He's a case of eight.
A case of eight. Okay.
It's all
so he will
Prime.
Be very easily attainable.
Yes, but this is what surprises me is because most of your exclusives, just like those Target exclusives, are repaints. The fact that it is a completely new mold and it's exclusive to Walmart, I don't know that I've ever seen a retail exclusive that was the first and possibly only release of that mold. It's almost always repaints.
I'm sure it's happened. I just can't think of anyone right off
the top
of my head.
The only other times I can think of it happening were like unreleased toys from one line get repackaged and released in the next line as a store exclusive. Like Megabolt Megatron You know, it was supposed to be a Beast Machines toy,
KB
but
toys
it didn't.
Exclusive.
It didn't get released, and it ended up being a KB Toys exclusive during Robots in Disguise. But I mean, as far as we know, this was not supposed to come out in a previous line, and then wasn't released. I mean, this is a newly engineered toy, as far as we know.
It was engineered for Dark of the Moon. You know, I may pick this up, but at the same time, you know, I'm at the point right now. I'm considering actually unloading my movie. A lot of my movie toys. And if I do pick up a Dark of the Moon toy, I'm definitely getting Sentinel Prime because he just looks awesome. And if I get another movie toy, I'll get Megatron, and I want the Leader Prime with the trailer. So,
well, you know me, I'm a sucker for trucks, so I'm definitely getting any version of Megatron that's released. And I'm going to get this Prime. The Voyager Prime I'm going to pass on because Battle Blades is better. So I already have one of that scale. The Leader, again, I have to see it in hand. I mean, I like the idea of the trailer, but it's also really expensive. So I may wait till you get it, check it out. But, I mean, if it's a truck Prime in a scale I don't have that version of Prime in, or it's better than the one I already have in that scale, I'm buying it. It's a truck. I can't pass it up.
But I don't have anything else. Do you see any other news that we need to cover?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's... I know we had a really long Out of My Wallet segment this week, but that's because we hadn't had much of one the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So it kind of all caught up to us.
And I've actually got more stuff on the way, but I'm not going to mention that right now.
Yeah, same here.
I need, like I say, I really need to curtail my ordering and everything right now because I'm afraid, you know, we're starting to get close enough to BotCon that some of these orders might not ship until right before we go, so they might arrive while we're there, and that would be bad. But yeah, it's, you know, I mean, I think it's time to end the podcast. I'm starting to get tired. I'm starting to get tired. So we hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and once again, we know about the issues with the podcast or the forums on the website. We're working hard to fix them. Hopefully we'll get them back up to where they were, or at least a usable form by the end of the weekend. So hopefully by the time you're listening to this, they'll be done. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
This has been Geek Existence Transformers, a GeekExistence.com presentation. Check out our other podcasts, Geek Existence Gaming for the gaming geek in you, and Geek Existence Science and Tech for your sci-fi, science, and tech interests. Both are available on iTunes as well as our website. You can interact with us by visiting our forums on our website at geekexistence.com/forums or by following us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekexistence. Search for us on Facebook and send us a friend request. We'd also love to hear from you via email. Our address is geekexistence@gmail.com. Your hosts for this episode were Weird Wolf 1975 and Insane Galvatron. No hamsters or squirrels were harmed in the making of this podcast.